Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome back to the show. If you've just joined us, welcome, welcome. If you have to leave us, don't worry, because the show will be podcast. So if you're wanting to hear about nutrition, then you will get it, the podcast tomorrow on the Chai FM website. So it is time to move on. Dr. Charlene Wahlberg, general practitioner with a master's in nutritional science and practices at Netcare Linksfield Hospital. Charlene, welcome. Lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. So I'd love to start off with the saying, you are what you eat. I mean, we've heard that for many, many years. You are what you eat. So I suppose a good way to start, Charlene, is questioning the importance of food for our overall health. How important is it?
Yes. So I think often as medical practitioners, we don't emphasize or concentrate enough on using diet and nutrition as part of our treatment plans. And there's several huge studies that show that there are enormous benefits resulting from better nutritional practices in modulating diseases and offering both prevention as well as treatment. I think also a good way of answering that question is just looking at what's actually happened to our health and well-being over the past few decades, where the consumption of things like ultra-processed foods, highly refined carbohydrates, the increase of the so-called bad or saturated fats has increased. And accompanying that, we've seen increases in the so-called Western or the new civilization diseases like cardiovascular disease and diabetes, hypercholesterolemia, etc. So I think a lot of that is partly dietary related. So I think it's very important that we look at going back to a basic, healthy, nutritional eating plan.
You know, Charlene, I want to just say, and I you've said a few things there, which I want to just unpack. Number one, you are so right about using diet and nutrition as a treatment plan. I was actually at a launch of a nutritionist had launched a book, and all we were talking about all aspects of food, and there were different, you know, people who did different things in the audience. And they were saying it's amazing how that's not introduced as a part of a treatment, that very often we go to giving a pill or giving a this without talking about the really important part, support that the correct eating plays. So I love the fact that you as a general practitioner went on to do your master's in nutritional science. So have you found as a general practitioner that you have been able to positively influence people's treatment and their health trajectory by looking at their nutrition and their diets?
Oh, absolutely. I'm fortunate in that I've had patients who I've followed up over many years and who have been able to implement and follow these general nutritional, we look basically at a Mediterranean style of eating where we concentrate on whole foods and getting all your nutritional requirements, your vitamins and minerals from proper fruits, vegetables, fatty fish, whole grains, etc. And we definitely see a positive impact in terms of their overall health and well-being. A fact that I think people don't know very well is that in terms of a disease like Alzheimer's disease, at the moment, the most effective way of decreasing Alzheimer's disease in patients who have a high risk profile in terms of family history or they themselves is actually through diet. So there's not actually a medication or anything else. it's actually diet that can affect or decrease the risk of Alzheimer's most effectively at this point in time. So I think people don't realize the impact that healthy nutrition has on your well-being.
Yeah, it really does make sense. So, I mean, I have to carry on with what you've just said about an effective diet. So what are you talking about when it comes to Alzheimer's? Would it be, I mean, I would think that maybe you would have more oily fish because I know that that would be good for the brain. What kind of diet would support, a person who is more at risk?
Yes. So actually, there's a special diet. It's part of something called the Alzheimer's Treatment Prevention Program, and there's very good studies proving the effect of diet. And you're 100% right to say fatty fish. So the Alzheimer's Prevention Diet actually looks very much like the Mediterranean diet. So what we look at is we encourage patients to eat lots of different colored fruits and vegetables. So for example, consumption of anything that ends in the word berry. So, for example, blueberries, blackberries, these are important parts of the diet. Also, we know increased consumption of green leafy vegetables can be very protective in terms of our brain health. You mentioned fatty fish. So, what we try and do is we decrease the consumption of red meat. We actually try and advocate to avoid processed meats. And we also essentially is follow principles that are similar to that are used in like cardiovascular disease reduction, because all of the nutritional principles are aimed at giving us so-called cleaner blood vessels. And if we have cleaner blood vessels, that will reduce our risk of any kind of diseases, whether it be stroke, Alzheimer's, kidney disease, heart disease, etc. And also what's important, I think people don't realize that diet, as well as my speciality, is actually looking at weight, but they can increase your risk for cancers, which is something I think people also don't concentrate or emphasize enough in terms of clinical practice.
Yeah, and you know, everything that you're saying, I mean, when you talk about this Alzheimer's diet and you're talking about the Mediterranean diet, this is just common sense. It's nothing new. You know, I mean, we hear all these new diets, eliminate this, have this, but you're just talking about eat healthy food. This is something we've known forever and a day. We still know it hasn't changed. And the diet that supports people who are at risk with Alzheimer's, supports people who have heart disease, supports people, you know, it just across the board, it just sounds like the support is there. It's amazing. And you talk about these cleaner blood vessels, and something that pops into mind on my side as well, you know, being a breathwork practitioner, is also the use of correct breathing. You know, when you think about oxygenation and improving circulation, like these are things that more people should be made aware of, and it all boils down to common sense. You know, sometimes
exactly.
We just don't listen.
Basics.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Yes.
Sorry.
No, what were you going to say?
That you need to ask a child what is healthy eating, because they'll be able to tell you. It's us as adults have been bombarded with so many different nutritional information and diets that we actually, I have patients arriving that no longer actually know what's basic healthy and what's not anymore. Unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion and mixed messages, and it's important for patients to know they must get their nutritional information from proper sources.
Yeah, that's also, I mean, that's also a challenge, because there's so many so-called experts out there on social media with little sound bites here and there with bits of information. So I think we have to be cautious and we have to be discerning. What came to mind as well, you know, when you were talking about it is we don't we don't always listen to our bodies, do we? I mean, we could be sitting for long periods of time working. We could be thirsty and we don't even know we're thirsty. We could have an aching neck or back and we ignore it. So often we ignore the signals of the body. And that, I suppose, affects ignoring the signals of when we really are hungry or when we're not, or when we're craving sugar, maybe we're craving something else. So I suppose that's something to look at as well, really being able to listen to the body. And I'd love to, Charlene, just move to you mentioned you specialize in weight loss, and just looking at obesity, and you know, apparently you attended the biggest obesity congress ever held in South Africa. And so I'd like to ask you what stood out for you about how medical understanding of obesity is evolving.
I think that's a very important point that needs to be get out to the mainstream public. So now, as a medical profession, we no longer view obesity or overweight as a person's own responsibility. But what we do is we look at it as a chronic disease state, like any other chronic disease state. So for example, if you go to your general practitioner with a high blood pressure, he will give you an overall comprehensive workup and management strategy for your blood pressure. And so it's the same thing now with overweight and obesity. We now manage patients chronically, and we manage them with comprehensive management. So the ideas of, you know, lack of willpower or self-discipline, those are old-fashioned ideas that no longer have any relevance in the management of obesity as a disease. And often patients would feel very ashamed and responsible about being overweight. And I try to explain to patients is that you have as much control over your body weight as you do over your blood pressure. It's a physiological disease, and it needs to be managed as such. And for the last decade, the World Health Organization has actually defined overweight or obesity as a chronic, relapsing, progressive disease state. And we now need to offer patients that kind of management. So it's a huge, huge paradigm shift that we are trying to educate both practitioners and the general public in understanding.
Yeah, that is a huge shift. And it sounds like a very, very positive shift. So, and we don't have a lot of time, but I suppose then we have to bring in the discussion of something like Ozempic, where we know that this is medication that was used originally for people who suffered with diabetes. And we know that it is being used very successfully to help people lose weight. I can't remember his name. He wrote a whole book about it. And he, you know, he was talking about, should everyone just have access to it, or, you know, people who are just obese. And when you weigh up the fact that they, if you are obese, you have all these other possible illnesses that you can get, all these risk factors. So what are your thoughts? I mean, is Ozempic then the next step if you are looking at obesity in this new paradigm?
Yeah, I mean, I give lectures on this that take about an hour, but just to simplify, first of all, to let you know that Ozempic's weight loss version, it's the same molecule called semaglutide, Wegovy, has just been launched in South Africa, and that is what we use for weight loss at the moment, okay? Well, what we're looking at is exactly that. If we are calling obesity a chronic disease, we have to offer patients chronic medication for the management of this disease. And I think what I'd like to get across most importantly is that these medications are not quick fix medications. They are for a disease and its comorbidities. So, for example, high blood pressure, pre-diabetic, diabetic, etc. So people who are using them as a quick fix are actually abusing these medications. These medications, when used correctly, have so a fantastic, I can't even, overwhelming ability to help overweight and obese patients to actually not only reach goal weight, but what they do is they help patients to implement lifestyle changes. So, for example, in terms of implementing healthy eating behavior, going on to be able to do physical activity is what these medications help people to do. So they are not a substitute for lifestyle modification. They are used in conjunction with lifestyle modification. We know also that these medications, not only do they offer weight loss and sugar control, but long term, they have studies have shown they actually decrease the risk of cardiovascular disease in high risk populations by as much as 20%. So not only are they offering, as I say, short-term protection, but we're looking at long-term protection. So when used in the correct population group, these medications increase longevity and health span. And so they are a huge leap in terms of our management compared to what we were previously able to offer patients.
So Charlene, what I'm hearing you say, and I think that this can be true for quite a lot of medication, is that when you use the medication properly in conjunction with a doctor and you are monitoring the use of it, because you need to be doing the bloods to make sure that what's happening to you and your liver and all the different parts of your body are okay, and that you it can then be used in a really effective way, which can then impact the way people show up, can really start to impact a lifestyle. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. So what we know, I mean, it's a very complex disease, obesity, but a large proportion of obesity is actually genetically determined. So what we have is certain patients are genetically predisposed to be overweight, and then we live in the so-called obesogenic environment, okay? So for patients who have a genetic predisposition, and it's very difficult for them to lower their body weights just with lifestyle modification, the use of medication is essential. So, for example, in order to lower your blood pressure, some patients do need medications. You know, lifestyle modification is not enough. It's not enough to simply cut salt in your diet and exercise. You need an antihypertensive. And so it's the same thing and the same analogy with weight loss medications. As some patients, you do need to add. And also the emphasis in terms of this Congress is that to act sooner rather than later. You know, patients often, you know, think that it's their fault and they delay in going to their general practitioners and asking for help when it comes to weight. But now, because of the change and the view as a disease state, patients must feel encouraged to go to their general practitioners and ask for help in the management of this disease state.
I think it's very exciting, and it's good to know, Charlene. It's wonderful to see that the whole perception behind it has changed and how that will affect everybody really moving forward, because it is challenging with the kind of food, the quality of food, what we are fed on every level is just so overwhelming. So I've got to thank you so much for joining us. It's been so interesting. I wish we could chat longer, but we've run out of time. But thank you very, very much for your valuable time today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and take care. Dr. Charlene Wahlberg, general practitioner with a master's in nutritional science, and she practices at Netcare Linksfield Hospital.